God sends His love and His faithfulness. It's in the Psalms, a greeting from the Lord as He gets us into the second lesson, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 18, to help us triumph in God's new covenant. Follow along there with me as I read verses 11 through 18, Hebrews 10. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice. We pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Christ, our champion, my dear fellow saints, washed with the blood of Christ and holy because of him, triumphing in God's grace. Triumph means to win. What would you like to win? State football championship? Speech contest? Singing contest? Dancing with the Stars? Come on now. Some of you would. It's in your dreams. All these dreams we have of if only we could do this or if we could do that. And you know how it goes. When somebody falls short of what they hoped they would win, if only I had a better coach. If only I had a better partner, maybe my marriage would last. How many times have you heard that one? All the if only. But what if there was a personal coach, the champion of everything, who could step up and help you in every challenge that you had to face? A champion who would not only help you with these, you know, pie-in-the-sky dreams that we dream about, but a champion that could help you with your time and your bills, your life, the challenges in this complicated world that we're all up against. Newsflash. He's knocking at your heart's door again today. The champion who won it all so that you and I can triumph in God's new deal. His new covenant, pure grace, done deal, you already made perfect. Ooh, Pastor. Me? Perfect? This first verse about the priests standing every day, doing it over and over again, reminds me of a warm-up sophomore year in high school before a basketball game. Coach pulled me aside, rather perturbed, You know, if you'd quit slamming the ball into that same part of the backboard every time, the ball would go in. Yeah, I guess you're right, coach. He was always better at chewing you out than he was at encouraging you. I was always glad I was not his son. He was in my class. Kid was a fairly good athlete, but nothing like the dreams of his father. You know that classic coach and son thing? And that poor kid, he could never get it right. He'd get yelled at in front of the whole school, and it just made it worse. How do you deal with that? Are you the type that just keeps doing it the same way over and over again? Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Tabernacle in the desert, temple in Jerusalem, it was part of Moses' law. Hundreds of animals to be sacrificed throughout the year, morning and evening, double that on Saturdays on the Sabbath. They do this over and over again. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. Not one sin was ever washed away by the blood of an animal. So why did God tell them to do that? To make it clear that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Only by the shedding of innocent blood will any sin ever be taken away, and every sin is accountable. Thoughts, words, deeds, feelings that are amiss. You break one command of God, you've broken the whole thing. It's like a window. You can't partially break a window. It's the law of God. And it cuts us no slack, and death is the result of all those who fall under the wrath of God. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Next column in my Bible. Without the shedding of blood, there'll be no forgiveness. So they did it over and over again to make a point. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And you wonder, who's this priest? And what was that sacrifice? Himself. The Christ of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. One sacrifice, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect those who are being made holy. Has made them perfect. The Christ of God got it done where no one else could. But my dear friends, I have to tell you the bad news first. By nature, we were all those enemies of God. Just no good for anything except a footstool for his feet. The time of waiting through this life would have been nothing more than waiting for that judgment to come down. The conscience screams it. The Bible proclaims it. And people don't want to face it. So they make up their own gods. Some who are very violent. Virulent, as we say, hateful against anything else that's not of their God. And while we're told to love our enemies, they're slaughtering everybody they can. The false gods of death and destruction are all around us, and yet we were on that side before. Paul launches into this in Romans chapter 3, as it is written. Then he quotes a whole bunch of Old Testament scriptures. I'll just give you a few. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. He came. He did what a coach would do who wants to put a team together. He called together 12 disciples. They've got 3 years with the perfect preacher, teacher, coach. And after 3 years of perfect instruction comes the big game. And he warns them what it's going to be like. What do? They run away. They run away as he said they would. They were scattered. And I told you in Bible class this morning, the Bible is the only book that predicts these things, and then God who said it fulfills it, even when it comes to this suffering of his own son. They ran away. And you don't have to ask, what would Jesus do? You know what he did. He did it alone. My own right hand works salvation, he said in his Isaiah a couple of times. I have tread the winepress alone, the winepress of God's wrath. He did it alone because we weren't there for him either. So what do you want to win at? I picture something that none of us could do. I checked with the one person in our congregation that I thought might have done this, but I don't think anyone here has ever gone surfing. Am I wrong? Surfing? Grew up on the coast, but not that. Of course, northern coast was always too cold. But let's just think southern coast. I'm picturing that long wave, the tube, you know, that they all want to get in, and that, you know, you don't have to just have a surfer to do this, but what we see takes quite a cameraman, too. Think about it. To catch that surfer right in that tube as he travels down that wave and is, whoa, he's right there where everybody wants to be when they're on that surfboard. And you can just dream about it. But that was our champion surfer flying down that wave, and all of a sudden that wave breaks over him, just buries him in the water. Nobody can survive that. Don't see him again for a while. He's gone. All his friends are on the shore saying he's dead. He's dead. All his enemies are cheering. Finally rid of him. You stand there watching. Watching for hours. Not believing. Terrified. Frightened. Sad. He's gone. He's dead. Oh, you know. Third day. He's not just back in the wave going the other direction. He's back in the wave coming back this way. Against all the rules of nature, water, life, he comes back to life again, and he comes roaring back toward us. And he says, hey guys, come with me. And we're saying, why us? We ran away when you needed us. Ah, forget it, he says. Let's go. You're with me. You're mine. Let's go. Forget it. My dear friends, that's the new covenant. That's pure grace. That's the undeserved love of God. That's what he calls being made perfect. The way the scripture presents this is God declares it to be so because that champion won in our place. We're on that team. He wins, we win, even though we don't contribute one point to this competition. He does it all. And he comes back to us wretched. He comes back and says, you're mine. You're on my team. I'm never going to let you go. Forget what happened before. Made perfect, reconciled to God, called back to him. And your question at that point is, what do we do now? How then shall we live with him who is our champion? He says, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever, reconciled to God, made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's his plan. Being made holy. So the question that everybody has to ask, like whether you're starting a new sport or learning a new skill or a new instrument or whatever the case may be, how do I do this? Don't you wish that there was some light socket or something you could stick your finger into and boom, you know, the power is right there and you know just what to do, everything. Or, you know, that pill that you could take where suddenly you've got not just the mind but the memory, and it's all just all the synapses firing at once. You know just how to do it and the hand-eye coordination is all just in sync. Wouldn't that be great? You know, God starts with us where the problem is. He reels it back to the mind and the heart. And after he gives us the want to by calling us to be his own, you guys come with me now. Let's just forget the sin. I took that away. Let's go. After he gives us the want to, he also gives us the how to. And it wasn't this writer to the Hebrews who said this first. The Holy Spirit had been testifying to this for centuries. It goes back to Jeremiah that he's quoting here, about 600 years before Christ. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." It's as if the Lord, with his holy word, puts this on your mind and heart, little children, adults as well, and you know the law of love. God who loved us causes us to love others. And when you love your neighbor as yourself, you're just basically living all the commandments. And you think, great, he taught me how to surf. I'm up on the wave, I'm riding along, and just about the time you think you've really got it, boom, down you go. You're in what they call the chowder, where the sand and the water mix together and roll you over close to the shore, and it's just the stuff you didn't want to swallow. And you're lying there just feeling totally defeated. And he walks over. You got that awful fear that he's going to do like the coach, just chewing you out. Or maybe a parent who never had a good word to say to you and was just always criticizing, and you think that's the way he is. Look at him. Oh yeah, he's got the muscles. It's all there. He is a champion fighter. He is a champion everything, but look at his face. It's not just a smile of love there, it's that deep, deep love in his eyes that reaches right down into your soul. He's not there to pull you aside and chew you out. He's not there to come down on you for failing again. He's there to pick you up and say, "Let's try that again." And you're, "No, I can't." "Yeah, you can. I'll show you how. Watch me. I'll help you. Let's get you on that next wave." Don't be all choked up about the wind and the wave, because I'll be there for you. I'm always there for you. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of this age. Next age, that's forever. This is the deal. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds. And then for all those times you fell down and you thought that God was done with you, get this. The one stipulation of God's new deal, his new covenant: their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. They're like the waves that wash away. That one's gone. That one doesn't come back again. Just gone. God himself says, "I will remember them no more." Who are you to lie there in the sand, all defeated, choked up, letting everything wash over you as if you have to worry about the wave that took you down? Get up. That's what champions do. They get up again. You and I don't have to get up on our own because the Holy Spirit has got the hand of Christ right there to lift you up and that smile to comfort your spirit and his word again to tell you, forget that, let's go. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. So you forget them too. Stop feeling bad about that. Am I shaking my finger at you? Yes, I am. You stop feeling bad about that, the Lord says. I don't remember, you don't remember. Listen in the liturgy how the Lord wishes us his peace at the beginning of the service, and after all these words of peace and reconciliation, he comes to the end and says again, depart in peace. That's not a suggestion. That's not just a hope. That's the Lord's command based on what Christ has done, and there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You depart in peace because where these sins have all been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. We have a whole new dawn patrol. It's what the surfers say when they go out there really early to catch those first waves. You have a new dawn patrol that's not like those Levitical priests sacrificing another innocent lamb two on Saturday. Your dawn patrol is all celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why we have Saints Triumphant Sunday. And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Hallelujah. Oh God, your word, your will, your way. Amen.